Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. One last time before Thanksgiving, and then we'll turn things over to Josh Stream on Thursday, tomorrow, the holiday, and Dawson and Sam on Friday. Jason and I will take a bit of a break, and Lord willing, back here on Monday. But hey, we got another 5 minutes to tackle right now, friend. Good morning.
Good morning.
The busiest travel day of the year. I always think of the John Candy, Steve Martin movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on this day.
You know, so I have been wanting to go back and watch that movie. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but yeah. It's such a good show. You know, I often think of Steve Martin and John Candy as the precursors to Chris Farley and David Spade, you know, in terms of the comedy duo, and just such a good show.
You, of course, one of the distinctions about you is you've seen Tommy Boy more than 80, maybe more than 90 times.
Yeah, yeah. I still watch it multiple times a year. So definitely a favorite of mine.
Oh, that's great. You know, yeah. It also calls to mind something, which is movies you're almost embarrassed to admit you have not seen, which is always kind of an interesting even party question.
Sure.
Because Christmas-wise, I mean, as we head into that season, I mean, I know all sorts of people talk about Christmas Story. Isn't that what it's called? With the gun and stuff, and the kid sticks his tongue. I have not seen that movie. I mean, in bits and pieces, maybe. And I don't think I've sat down, like, and seen the full... I have not seen Elf. I mean, I've seen it here and there, but those are two that come to mind, Christmas movies.
See, Elf is another one that I watch.
Yeah.
Multiple times. I've seen it dozens of times, probably.
I would like to check the box this Christmas as having seen those. So,
yeah, I think that's a good one to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good question as to movies that I'm... For me, it's a lot of times old movies that I haven't watched, you know, that other people have. I didn't watch White Christmas until this year, for example, and a lot of people have seen that one every year.
Well, your son was in the musical, right? So that was...
Right.
Hey, speaking of which...
That was the prompting.
Were you at... I saw you post that you were at Mean Girls last night. What was that?
Yep. Yeah, so they did the Broadway touring show of Mean Girls, which is based on the movie Mean Girls.
Okay.
They turned it into a musical, and which is a story written by Tina Fey. And I had wanted to go to it since I knew it was coming to Eau Claire, but we avoided buying tickets because Tessa had dance. And yesterday it dawned on me that Tessa didn't have dance class yesterday, and so Heather and I decided to go and see the show. Pablo Center.
Yeah.
You know, movie about bullying or a musical about bullying and kind of recognizing the way we treat people. And it was really, really well done.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Movie going back, almost 20 years now, 2004,
yeah,
the very talented Rachel McAdams in that one as Regina George.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, and I'd watched the movie in the past, but yeah, the music is just fun. And so, definitely it was worth it for us to take it in.
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess as we think about bullying, there's the physical in the old days, but certainly it's in today's culture on social media and otherwise, I mean, the verbal and the meanness. And I think the big thing for us is, believe for everybody to look at themselves and look at your own.
Yeah.
Behavior and to try to be praying that God roots that out of you, because we want to, you know, Mr. Rogers said, you know, three ways to be successful: be kind, the second way is to be kind, and the third way is to be kind. So,
love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Billy Graham, I think he talked about revival as like pray, pray, and pray. So, all right.
Yep.
If we pray and be kind, it'll be a different world, Jason.
It would. If we set ourselves to doing that, we would be in our personal relationships and even more broadly, I think things would change substantially.
All right, let's leave them with some scripture here. Let's go for it. Mark chapter 6, 7 to 13.
It says, "And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil.
And from your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, I'll speed read it. He called the 12 together and he commissioned them to go out in pairs and tell the villages and towns about my kingdom. He told them to pack lightly, taking only a staff and the clothes they were wearing. My spirit would provide everything else. He said, as you go, stay in one house until it's time to depart. Your presence is my presence. You will be a blessing to whoever will receive you. In his wisdom, my son knew that there were places that would not accept them. Knowing that rejection could be discouraging, he told them that closed doors were not about them or how they presented the gospel. They went from town to town and told the people to leave the way of self-centeredness. In my spirit's power, they healed the sick, encouraged the downtrodden, and rebuked evil. Final thoughts.
Yeah, what stood out as we were reading through is that idea of your presence is my presence. You know, I think we bring Christ to people in how we show up. And I think that's a good reminder today as we're going into the holiday season.
I also like that part about to tell the people to leave the way of self-centeredness, too. So
Yeah.
Very good. Yep. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Too. You bet.
Talk to you on Monday. There we go. Today is the 60th anniversary of that dark day where John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the last president we had assassinated in this country. And here is a montage of sound from that day 60 years ago, courtesy of the Associated Press.
I appreciate your being here this morning. Mrs. Kennedy is organizing herself. It takes longer. But, of course, she looks better than we do when she does it. But we appreciate your welcome. This city's been a great Western city.
We understand there has been a shooting. A presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital.
Governor Connolly was shot in the upper left chest, and the first unconfirmed reports say the president was hit in the head.
There's only one word to describe the picture here, and that's grief, and much of it. It's official. As of just a few moments ago, the president of the United States is dead.
We're here at the Texas School Book Depository, where the area being completely roped off by Dallas police, the canine units here at the scene.
They have little doubt that 24-year-old Lee Oswald of Dallas is the man who shot and killed Dallas police officer J.D. Tippit shortly after President Kennedy was shot to death this afternoon.
These people have given me a hearing without legal representation or anything.
Did you shoot the president?
I didn't shoot anybody, no, sir.
This is a sad time for all people. We have suffered a loss that cannot be waived. For me, it is a deep personal tragedy. I know that the world shares the sorrow that Mrs. Kennedy and her family bear. I will do my best. That is all I can do. I ask for your help and God's.
Well, it is Thanksgiving Eve. You know, Caleb, I was saying earlier, there's just something that's, I'm really a fan of the eve of these, you know, Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving Eve. There's just something special about that.
Well, it's the anticipation, yeah, too, especially of something we've looked forward to all month mm-hmm. long. And again, it's food and family and football. And of course, overall, I think the chance, because Thanksgiving is so late in the year, to look back and see, wow, look at how much has happened this year. And you know, I can see in the good times and the hard times, the faithfulness of God in my life and in the station here, and that's important.
Yeah. So we asked a question on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page last night. What's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Let's share some of those answers.
Yes. So, again, I'm making sure we're looking at the same comments.
We are. I've got Carla first.
Yes, I do as well, too.
All right,
so
good.
Carla says having family together is her favorite part of Thanksgiving.
Terry and Susan both say family, and Linda, family together. I'm sensing a theme here.
There you go. Debbie says there's just something about the craziness of the kitchen. She says the football game going on, the clatter of forks, spoons, glasses raised to one another. And she says, yeah, the nap and the leftovers as well, too. Just loves it all. Thank you, Debbie.
You can see how Ben Rector just got it just right with the song, right?
Yes.
Tamara says being with family. Kitty says working. And Melody says her favorite part is just having the family together and lots of hugs.
Again, we've asked you on the WWIB Radio Facebook page, what's your favorite part of Thanksgiving? Kirsten says family. Bonita says sitting around the table telling everyone what you're thankful for. Mm. Yes. Pamela says getting together with family. And Teresa says family gatherings and playing games. What a great time when you have the family together to get out the board games, card games.
Yep. Deb says being with family, as does Heather. And Ashley says spending time with family and friends. I sense there's a definite
there
winner
is a
there.
Theme. Kimberly says making and sharing food and creating family memories.
There we go.
Liz says going to my grandparents' house as well. It's 7:49 here at WWIB Thanksgiving Eve. And Havel, we can't help but wax nostalgic, right, as we get toward the holiday. Think of so many, great Thanksgivings past and all the times with family, with loved ones and friends. And so I guess I was waxing a little nostalgic as well about something we used to do around this time on Wednesday mornings that we haven't done for a while.
Aha.
And so that was where I took, either from folks here in the building or from all of you, the Wib family, things that, you know, annoy you just a little bit. Not enough to really make you angry, but you're just kind of like, man, I wish that wouldn't happen. And I took those pet peeves and I set them to song. It's called Pet Peeves Put to Music. And I thought maybe we could bring one back, tongue firmly in cheek, as always, about Thanksgiving and specifically about the interactions with relatives around the Thanksgiving table. Let's take a listen. Pet Peeves Put to Music, Thanksgiving edition, bringing it back for 1 week only here on the Wib Wake Up Show. Thanksgiving is upon us, that wondrous time of year, when strange folks called our relatives all suddenly appear. There's just nothing like family to start an all-out war by asking why you're single or who you voted for. I can tell you're important because you wear a Bluetooth headset all the time. Sure, I'd love to hear a conspiracy theory. It's good to be together despite our many quirks. Family is forever. I guess that's how that works. There's peace around this table, and now it's very clear. I'm so glad the election is not until next year.
Not until next year.
Very good.
Having just a little bit of fun.
Oh, that's great. Well, I was talking with one mom over the weekend at church, and she was like, you know what? I'm kind of looking forward to sitting with my kids and watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And she never remembers having done that. She's like kind of curious to see how interested they'll be. We've got some facts about that parade tomorrow.
Yes. So again, massive parade. The first parade in 1924 was called the Macy's Christmas Day Parade, although it took place on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Live animals, including camels, goats, elephants, and donkeys were part of the parade that inaugural year.
The floats were pulled by horses. In the first parade, a white steed that was to aid in the Ben-Hur float disappeared at the last minute before the start of the parade.
There you go. In 1925 and 26, bears, lions, and tigers were added to the live animals used, but the use of these animals had to be discontinued because they scared the kids.
You think? In 1927, Macy's introduced the world-famous giant helium balloons. The first balloons included Felix the Cat and Toy Soldier.
That's just the iconic thing about this particular parade, isn't it? In 1928, saw the first release of the giant balloons into the air at the end of the line of march. The balloons exploded after reaching a certain altitude.
Wow. The balloons were redesigned and again released, equipped with a return address label. Macy's offered a prize for their return. In 1932, Clarence Chamberlain, an aviator flying above New York City, caught the pig balloon in midair.
Wow.
To claim the prize money.
Way to go, Clarence. And finally, due to a helium shortage back in 1958, the balloons are brought down Broadway on cranes.
All right. So again, going through the years, the history of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And, you know, whenever it's a little windy there, too, I'm glad I'm not the other end of those ropes on those huge helium balloons.
Speaking of which, we got another parade December 2nd in Chippewa Falls, right?
Yeah, the Bridge to Wonderland Parade, and WWIB going to have a float there again. And we're looking for kids, families, of course, but looking for kids to volunteer to dress up as angels. The first 20 kids will get an angel wings, halo, and a bell provided. Again, our theme is from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And so, yeah, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, you know it. And so, yeah, we're looking for some kids to walk along with us. And, of course, parents welcome as well, too. But trying to get at least 20 kids to dress up as angels, and we'll provide the dress-up materials.
Absolutely. So take part.
If you want to do that, if you're willing to help us out, call Kristen Johnson. Her number is 715-563-3534. Kristen, one of our great team here at the station, 715-563-3534. And again, Saturday, December 2nd, the Bridge to Wonderland Parade.
We did our pie poll this weekend. I've got the results.
Yeah, so again, we were saying, hey, if you could have just one slice of pie at Thanksgiving, just one slice, what kind of pie would it be?
Yeah, so we go. We got like 16 or 17 different choices. I mean, and again, apple came in a couple of different, like apple cranberry, southern pecan pumpkin, which was interesting, blending two of the favorites together. We can't forget Mark and O'Clara said he's going to have a large slice.
Of anything.
Vote for strawberry rhubarb, transparent. Neither of us knew what that was. Blueberry pie, raisin cream, the holiday pie at McDonald's, cherry and chocolate getting one vote. For two votes, the coconut cream, banana cream getting two votes, raspberry by itself or cream cheese, two. Now you start to pick it up a little bit. You get the top three, which actually apple got 7 votes, pecan got 14, and the winner, pumpkin with 21.
There you go. It is that time of year.
I think
some folks even said, tis the season. Gotta go with the pumpkin. Some folks said, hey, more on the Cool Whip side than the pumpkin side.
That's a favorite,
well.
Yeah. The best of the week on a Wednesday. Yeah, it's because you and I, we're done for the next couple of days. So, in fact, we're stretching from last Friday through this morning in this, the best of the week.
Thanksgiving is upon us, that wondrous time of year, when strange folks called our relatives all suddenly appear. There's just nothing like family to start an all-out war by asking why you're single or who you voted for. I can tell you're important because you wear a Bluetooth headset. All the time. Sure, I'd love to hear a conspiracy theory.
Hi, Mark. This is Jerome. I just wanted to share that I am so thankful for the open heart surgery I had a couple years ago and a couple more serious health issues since that. The closeness it's brought me to the Lord, the greater knowing for the need that I have for him, but mostly that just a new closest I would have never had. I am so thankful for that.
As far as the homeless numbers, well, I can tell you at the end of October, typically we have identified about 100 students. And at the end of this October, we identified 175. So we are seeing a big increase in families that are struggling in our community.
We're not hunters, but we do radio together.
That's
is something
true.
That, you know, father and son. But hey, if you're a father and son hunting trip, we wish you the well. Follow more and more daughters hunting.
Yeah, and
these
we
days.
Hope you wish us well in our endeavors here on the airwaves.
Exactly. We're not wearing orange.
No. Well, you don't know. We could be wearing anything.
But I found that with me, there can be dangers even going over a fence. Yeah, I stumbled this morning. You know, the last time, and I shared that with Jason in the best 5 minutes at, of the day at 5:45, he's like, it seems like we were just talking about this. Yeah, that was the other foot, and I fell on the other side. We got this fence in the backyard because of the dogs, and we've got a growing number of dogs because Athena's expecting.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
How much do Americans collectively spend on home security each year?
$20 billion.
What's your name, where you're calling from, by the way?
Arlene.
And where are you from Arlene?
Chippewa.
From Chippewa. Marlene from Chippewa, we are going to send you a Jesus Revolution digital download. You got it absolutely correct. Yes, $20 billion each year Americans spend on home security.
And once we see those kids, you know, get that nutrition regularly, I mean, we see it at the schools of how they change, you know, behavior changes and their mood changes. They're happier. Obviously, they can concentrate more. They're not so fixed on when is lunch. You know? And it does, self-esteem-wise, just make them feel good about themselves, that they they have what they need and people care about them.
It's good to be together despite our many quirks. Family is forever. I guess that's how that works. There's peace around this table and now it's very clear. I'm so glad the election is not until next year.
There you go. The WIB Wake Up Show. It's your audio trail mix, sweet and salty.
You never know what's going to be in there. Thank you, Havel, for putting together the best of the week a couple days early.